All right, hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Relay Bitcoin podcast. Today, I'm really looking forward to speak about Lugano. Lugano is obviously a small city and canton in Switzerland, in the Italian part of Switzerland. No one really knows about this region, I guess, outside of Switzerland. But now it has become more and more famous. A lot of magazines, PR, wrote about it because of Plan B. Now, what Plan B is and what conference like Plan B Forum is and what it has to do with Bitcoin and crypto and Tether, we will hear firsthand today from Giv. Welcome, Giv, to the podcast. Very nice you made it here. Maybe you can quickly tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you come from.
Sure, thanks. Hi, Julian. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me. So my name is Giv Zangane. I am actually born in the German part of Switzerland. Then I lived in a bunch of countries around the world. I lived in Iran, I lived in Canada, I lived in Indonesia. And then I immigrated basically 12 years ago to Lugano. And I fell in love with the place and I'm not planning to go back. So I was in Zurich before, just immediately before coming to Lugano, and I came here for work mainly, but now I also have a family here, so I am based here.
Very nice, very nice. What do you like about Lugano? What makes you stay there?
Well, it's a lot of things. I mean, you can talk about the climate, you can talk about the food, it's close to Italy, it's a bit more open mentality. What I always like to say is like, children are allowed to be a bit more louder here. So it's a bit more the southern feeling where I feel comfortable with.
Nice. All right. And what do you do like professionally? What's your educational and professional background, and what kind of stations did you do professionally? What did you work? What was your job kind of before getting into Bitcoin? And now how did you get into Bitcoin and how did you end up at Tether?
I love to talk about that. So basically, I myself, I'm an engineer. I'm a mechanical engineer and I studied in Zurich at ETH. So that is basically my education. And when I was already finishing my master's, I was working in a company here in Ticino that offered me to do a PhD. So I was doing a PhD on mechanical engineering, specifically on developing solar technologies as well as energy storage technologies. So basically combined the two, I was working as well as doing the PhD at the time. Maybe something interesting that we did was an energy storage technology that was based on compressed air. So we took a kind of a tunnel that was used for building another tunnel, the Gotthard Basis tunnel, and we closed like a section of that with huge concrete blocks, and we used compressors to compress the air and store it in that cavern. And then basically you can let the air out and produce the electricity again. So this was a project that worked on in 2014 to 2016-17. And then it had success. There's a couple of things that are still open, basically. It's still not fully dead as a project, as a concept. But then I moved on. I worked for a while in consulting. And then I started working for the local utility company in Lugano, where I was doing the long-term energy planning. So I was basically designing how the energy transition can take place and what it means for a utility company that where I was working on. IEL is the biggest utility company of the south of Switzerland, which was very challenging and very interesting. Another one of the big challenges that we have. To combine it with Bitcoin, probably also due to my background, having lived in lots of different places and having family all over the world, I always sell, it was kind of an easy sell for me, Bitcoin, because you see the value proposition. If you have lived in a country that has like 30% inflation year over year, if you are like excluded from the financial systems, if you have problems sending money around, doing commerce, you get it relatively quickly. I really entered into the space in 2017, did a bit of blockchain stuff to just understand what there is. I actually worked in the consulting, trying to work on blockchain applications for different companies. I was also maybe on a working group from the Swiss Federal Office of Energy that was looking into how we can use blockchain for energy settlement. And basically the outcome of all of these projects was that, which your listeners might know, is like blockchain is a very inefficient system for getting to a shared state of something. So it works, you need it really when you don't have any trust. Like, you only really want to eradicate trust. As long as there is some trust component, as long as there is a party that you can trust, it is just additional friction, additional inefficiencies, and additional redundancies that you don't really need. And so basically, you start understanding a bit more about why Bitcoin, a blockchain, and digging deeper and deeper into that rabbit hole. So basically, I was looking for a job to work in the Bitcoin space and not in the crypto space, which basically is my passion with it, just the Bitcoin part of it. And it is not so easy. There was this opportunity. I saw this Plan B from Lugano that we're going to talk about later. I saw this being announced. And I started digging a bit about what is the background, what is the motive, what is driving this project. And I saw that it has a very interesting motives, basically, has very interesting goals that it has, which basically at the end of the day is Bitcoin adoption. So It is a project, and we're going to talk about this a bit more, to learn more about all the different aspects that you need to consider when you want to integrate Bitcoin basically into society. I said, okay, guys, I really would like to be part of this thing. And here I am.
Nice. Very nice. So, but your employer is Tether. Is that right? So like, can you tell us a little bit more on how this whole Plan B Lugano project is kind of being built? What elements are there? Public elements like the government, the local government there, the politicians, how do they have an involvement in the project? And then how is Tether and maybe other kind of companies from the space, how are they involved? And how are you, what's your role in this whole thing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so basically this is, I work for Tether, correctly, as you said. And Tether is part of a group which is called iFinex. Which also has Bitfinex. So Bitfinex is a cryptocurrency exchange that you might know. Then there's Tether, which is a stablecoin issuer that you definitely know as well. And there are different other companies as well. So there's Synonym. Now there is Hole Punch and Keat that are all part of the company. And so basically the main idea of this collaboration, which is basically between Tether and the city of Lugano. So these are the two main partners of this Plan B, is to drive ahead Bitcoin adoption, crypto adoption, particularly focused on Bitcoin with its series of initiatives, Startup Hub, Bitcoin and Tether merchant payment integration, different schools. We had the summer school that was very successful. We're going to have a winter school again and repeat this again. We are planning to do some collaborations also with the universities to bring more of the Bitcoin component to the curriculum that exists, because one of the issues really with academia is that there is not so much interest in Bitcoin. And the blockchain interest that there is very often due to some relationships between some professors and some projects. I don't want to name names, but there's some basically some kind of relationships like that. And Bitcoin not being a company, not having a marketing department, not having the budget, it is difficult basically to integrate that into the studies. And it is, it has a lot to offer. I mean, there are PhDs actually written at ETH on Bitcoin, for instance, by Christian Becker that you might know at Blockstream. So there's a big academic component to that. So we really want to bring awareness about what Bitcoin is. Also, we're going to start now collaborating with the local newspapers as well. So we want to give the public basically kind of an unbiased and information-based and evidence-based approach to what Bitcoin is, so people can make their mind up basically if it's interesting for them or not, and not having this kind of usually very one-sided coverage of what Bitcoin is and what it does.
That's very nice to see, like, that these projects basically merge around the world to really further Bitcoin adoption. As you said, Bitcoin doesn't have a company, doesn't have a budget, doesn't have a CEO that can kind of push the visions of the project actively, but now through consortiums of different players, you know, private people, but also local governments, cities, councils, whatever, and obviously companies, they pull together, and in different regions in the world, like El Salvador, Central Africa, Madeira, and now also Lugano, interestingly, and also Zug, obviously, for a long time, more crypto, not less Bitcoin related, but these projects really merge and they do amazing things to further Bitcoin adoption, which is great. So the vision is great. Now, what was the founding moment? Like, who founded it, when, and yeah, like how was the story of this whole Plan B concept or project from like the very beginning until where it is now?
Yeah. Well, so I myself actually, I started just beginning of August, so like a month ago at the project. So Paolo will be the one who can tell you all the details about that if he wants, as comes to your podcast. But basically, the way it happened is like Paolo Arduino, our CTO, basically just pitched the idea to the city of Lugano, found a series of like-minded people there, and that was the starting point, and that's how it basically.
Oh, nice. When did that happen?
We announced it in March. So basically the whole pitch started like some 3-4 months before that.
Oh, wow. Very that was very quick. And that's just because Paolo, the CTO of Tether, you know, thought that Lugano, a small canton and city in Switzerland, would be a good place to run such an adoption project for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, he's also, he lives in lots of different places, but he's been living in Lugano as well since a long time, so since 10 years. So there is also this component that binds us to this location. So that helped for sure as well. It was not a random city around the world.
There was connection. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, like, how would you end up in Lugano? I mean, it's a very nice city, as I said, but it's pretty small. It's not known at all for anything rather than maybe the good Italian food and the nice lake. now I get the connection. And I mean, it really shows what private people that have an interest in the space can really do. Like they can really change a lot. They can drive such a project within a couple of months. I mean, it's amazing. It was in the press all over the world. It was picked up by Cointelegraph, CoinDesk, Bitcoin Magazine, all the big media in the Bitcoin crypto space, but also outside, like the big one. I think it was probably on Bloomberg and NASDAQ and whatever. So amazing. Like this is an amazing thing you guys already achieved in a couple of months. And so you said this whole project is about adoption. I think there's some merchant acceptance activities going on. There's some education stuff going on. And obviously events, and kind of the biggest flagship event, I guess, out of this whole project, the Plan B project, is this Plan B forum that will take place in October. By the way, myself and Relay will also participate there because, you know, when you pitched us this conference, I was really hyped and very excited about it. I think I'm still very excited about it. Great speakers, great idea. So please walk us through like everything you have in mind, because you're basically the lead of this conference, right? So what is your vision? What are your ideas? What's going to happen there?
Yeah, with pleasure. You said you're hyped, even I am hyped. There's so many cool things happening there, and we're very happy to tell you about it. We defined this conference as to focus on three main topics, which is Bitcoin adoption, freedom of speech, and financial freedom. And we're sticking to these three things very closely because these are issues that are very, very dear to us as a group and as a company, and as well as for the city. And I can tell this from first experience in my interactions with the city that these are very important points that we want to push forward. And therefore, we're going to have a bunch of panels, speeches, and announcements that go into this direction, which are going to be about these three topics. So, for instance, we're going to have the ambassador of El Salvador to the US, Milena Mayorga, being on a panel about nation-state adoption, together with Indira Campos, who is a senator from Mexico, together with local representative of Lugano, of course, because we are all driving this Bitcoin adoption. So this is something that we are going to have. We're going to also talk about topics that are related to Bitcoin adoption, such as not only Bitcoin itself, but how can Bitcoin enable new business models? So, for instance, Lightning-based business models. You probably heard about Fountain, about Zebedee, about all of these different companies who are working on building a business, integrating Lightning in there, and Bitcoin Lightning in there. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about different topics such as financial freedom and freedom of speech. For that, we are very happy to have here Fadil Salamin, Roya Mahboob, Farida Naburema, and these are all activists who use Bitcoin in one way or the other. Fadi is going to talk how Palestinians and Israelis use Bitcoin for commerce, basically just putting aside all the political differences and issues that there are, and just enabling people with an instrument of financial interaction to do commerce when they want, despite the beliefs and everything else. So this is also, maybe you can put it in the context of what we are doing in the group with Holepunch and Keat. It's a whole another rabbit hole, but I think it's really worth mentioning, because this is something that we really believe in. I think Bitcoin as a tool for financial freedom is great. We need also tools for freedom of speech and for freedom of expression that are as unstoppable as possible. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what Holepunch is doing. Holepunch is basically, I'm going to do the very short version, not to take too much time, but Holepunch is basically kind of a peer-to-peer open source protocol based on Torrent. So probably lots of your listeners know Torrent. It's an unstoppable, has proven to be an unstoppable file sharing protocol. And that has been basically changed, improved in order to allow for sharing of data streams. So not only data files, but data streams. So this is Holepunch, which is basically the underlying protocol. And this allows them to create applications on top that are unstoppable and peer-to-peer. And the first one of this is Keat. And Keat is actually a video chatting application, already out for desktop and soon out for mobile. And we use it internally all the time, and also actually with external people. And I mean, the technicalities are separate. We can talk about that, or you can talk with Paolo about that. But the beauty of it is basically it allows you to connect directly to another person in the world with direct connection. Because even now we're going through somebody's server, and there is no really need for that anymore. I mean, the infrastructure is there to connect people directly and they can talk. And there's only upsides, because if you don't have to go through a central server, you're not going to have the bottleneck that the connection to that server and from that server creates. So it just makes the whole experience also better. And actually, let me just shill it. For your listeners, go to keat.io, download it, play with it, try it out with your friends. It is amazing. It works really, really flawlessly. And this is one of the tools that we are working on as a company, a open source tool that is going to enable this kind of freedom of interacting of people together privately and in the way that they want. It's just, we want the internet, and this is something that I also believed always in it. If you want to interact with another person through the internet, I think there should be absolutely a way to do it directly from peer to peer. And I'm really bullish to see that now the tools are coming with Bitcoin, of course, first and foremost, but also with these other tools such as Holepunch to allow this future where people can interact, they can talk, they can send value, nobody can stop them, nobody can tell them not to do. And this is basically the vision that we are looking for. So not to go too much on a tangent, but I just wanted to bring that into to give this basically background of why Bitcoin adoption, freedom of speech, and financial freedom. Yeah. And so another thing that I am happy to announce here, which we're very proud of, is that we are going to have the wife of Julian Assange, Stella Assange, and the brother of Julian Assange, Gabriel Shipton, on a fireside chat with Peter McCormack as well during the event as part of the panels, which are going to talk about this issue as well, right? I mean, of course, we know the attack on Julian Assange is an attack on freedom of speech, and we are big believers in and supporters of that cause, and want to bring more awareness to that. So that is also something that is part of the conference. And to go further on this collaboration, just to close that issue, is that we're also going to have a VR experience for the visitors that can go through the last 10 years of Julian Assange's life, from his confinement in the Ecuadorian embassy in England, all the way until he being basically dragged out and taken to the high security prison in Belmarsh. So the viewers and the visitors can get a bit of an idea of what he has been through. And I'm also very proud to announce that we are most probably also going to have a screening of the new documentary called Ithaca, about Julian Assange at that conference as well. So just to say that basically, this is really the core of our mission, the core of this conference as well. We are going to have top speakers from the Bitcoin space. We have Nick Szabo, Adam Back, Jameson Locke, Julian Liniger. So we're going to have really the creme de la creme. And so just to finish the rant, I think something that's very cool, that I'm really proud of, is that we're going to have the main stage where you have the speeches and the panels that we know from a setting from different conferences as well, regarding around these three topics, with very interesting speeches and announcements as well, of course. We have two more rooms dedicated to master classes. And these are rooms of around 100 people. And these are master classes held again by these top basically executives, top people. So Nick Szabo is going to hold a master class on the history of cryptocurrency. Adam Beck is going to hold a master class on Bitcoin lending. We're going to have Chuck Mutsuko who's going to have a master class on Bitcoin 101. Julian, you're going to have a master class there as well. I'm really looking forward to that. So, and this was very important to us to give this kind of approachable setting to the attendees, and this is open to all of the attendees. To, of course, sitting in a big hall and looking at these people is cool, but if you can sit in a small hall, learning something from them and then interacting with them one-to-one, asking questions, I think that is a really, really cool added value that I'm very bullish on myself.
Absolutely. I think this is also a huge value proposition of this conference, that you can actually really be in the same small room, ask questions, directly interact with these people and really get to learn from the people who are in the space for such a long time. I mean, excluding me here, but like Nick Szabo, Adam Beck, Giacomo Succo, all these guys, I mean, they have been here forever, probably like a year, like 10 years by now. So this is really cool. And I think this is also a trend where conferences are going in general. Like it's away from these big lecture halls where 1,000 people are listening to this one interesting guy, to really being in small kind of more seminar settings where you can really interact with these people, more workshops, because people come there obviously to network, yes, but there's always network opportunities here and there at the site, but they also really mainly come to learn, to be educated from directly from these top-notch people. So I think that's what you guys really, really got right. Also with the nice location, the great speakers. Like, by the way, how did you get these great speakers? Like, how did you, in such a short time, how did you get this network together? Was it just, you know, calling a couple of friends, or is it vitamin B network that you already leverage? Or how did you get all these amazing speakers together?
Yeah, I mean, Bitfinex being one of the oldest exchanges in the space, that helps. And our focus that is maybe is becoming more and more clear in the last years that our focus is Bitcoin adoption. So we want to give people this ability to transact. And Tether, as you may know, it's also now already used in many places for interaction. So this is just the reality of the situation. So basically, being one of the oldest exchanges, having worked in this direction for a long time, and basically having shown that this is really what we stand for, helped us to basically once we knocked on the door of all of these great OGs, that they were happy to work together. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the competition amongst other conferences? Because I feel like especially now in September, October this year, it's just going fucking crazy. It's going wild with all these, like, I could be at another conference every weekend, just Bitcoin conference. You know, there's Bitcoin Amsterdam, there's Bitcoin in Bitcoin conference in Innsbruck. There is obviously Riga, Honey Badger Baltic thing. There's this Plan B forum now. And this is only just one handful. There's so many more. So do you feel like it's just like it's getting very competitive to get the best speakers, to get all the audience there? How do you navigate this?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it is. There's lots of conferences planned for this period. Definitely, it is basically making the challenge because everybody has limited time and limited resources, so we have to choose. So we have a couple of approaches to that. I think one of the things that are definitely differentiating us is what I just mentioned before: the masterclasses are very approachable with top people, so inviting people. The other thing is like also this kind of trying to put Bitcoin and this as a tool in a wider context. So it's not only like it is a only Bitcoin only conference, but it's about what Bitcoin stands for, what Bitcoin enables. So therefore, like just as I said, like the case of bringing the family of Julian Assange here allows us to open the door also to a whole new way of a range of audience, and this is totally in line with our basically orange pilling mission. where we want to tell people, okay, maybe you don't know Bitcoin, or maybe you just heard that it is ruining the environment and is used for illegal activities, but maybe you care about Julian Assange, maybe you care about Palestinians and Israelis being able to interact, or Palestinians having access to financial freedom. Maybe these are things that you care about. So have another look at this thing, okay? Have another look. Look how actually Bitcoin is enabling those. Maybe try to remove a bit the biases. So this is definitely something that we are putting a focus on. Differentiating ourselves from the other conferences that are maybe only crypto focused, and opening the door to a wider audience. Mm-hmm. Having said that, it's also, I mean, compared to Riga is probably a bit more technical, a bit more developer focused than us. We are a little bit wider and differentiate like that. So Lugano is a great place. It's the warmest place you're gonna find in October, and the most beautiful view. So I think that is going to be a huge selling proposition as well.
That's right. Yeah, really on the fundamentals of why we are here. Like, Bitcoin is a tool to achieve what, right? To achieve unstoppable finance and freedom and so forth. So yeah, I really like this approach, and also differentiation towards others that mainly focusing maybe on like the economical side of it or the technical side of it. You guys are more of like kind of from a core value and philosophical side of it as well. And what I really liked as well is you guys have an art stream also, in like, I think there's one whole building that is kind of an art exhibition or vernissage, or can you tell me a little bit more about that, because that's something that I'm really interested in as well, in this whole movement, in this 12-13 year old movement now of Bitcoin. That there's not only technology that is emerging, but also really culture. Like, there's rap bands, for example, or music bands that only play Bitcoin songs. There are artists that only, you know, graffiti artists or painters that only do Bitcoin stuff. So it's really great, like how this cultural side of Bitcoin is also flourishing. So how do you display this in your or involve this in your conference?
Yeah, great. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's actually one of the things I really look forward to as well. Yeah, we are going to have a whole building with a big open patio dedicated to Bitcoin art. So it's going to be Bitcoin artists that do physical art on Bitcoin. So we are not going to have some monitors that show you some monkeys. We're not going to have NFTs and metaverse and those kind of things.
No apes.
No bored apes. No onboard apes. No nothing. No yacht clubs. We're not going to have that stuff. We're going to have a real physical art, because I still think, I mean, of course, Bitcoin is a digital currency, but when it comes to art, that this feel, touch and feel of having something in front of your eyes or between your fingers is just irreplaceable. And Bitcoiners appreciate that, as far as I can tell. At least I appreciate that. And we see more and more artists actually. Like traditional artists appreciating that. So we have a couple of very high caliber traditional artists who recently converted to Bitcoin and now are Bitcoiners and do exclusively Bitcoin art. And I'll be happy to announce more about that soon. Display their work in our Bitcoin art gallery. So that's something that I'm also very, very bullish on, very, very cool. Looking forward to it. We're also going to have an auction basically on these artworks. So if somebody wants to participate, you can also participate remotely actually. You can also participate physically there. So more about that is going to come out on the website very soon. That's something very cool. And one thing that we cannot miss is we are going to have also a Bitcoin meme gallery, because memes are part of the Bitcoin culture.
Especially the core of Bitcoin is memes.
It is, exactly. So we are going to have a room dedicated to Bitcoin memes, and that's also going to be quite epic. And exactly.
This is fantastic, man. I'm really looking forward to go there. I'm really excited. Like, I remember when one of our investors, Fulgur Ventures, which is a Bitcoin only and Lightning focused VC based out of based in Boston, US. They are in our cap table. They're great. They're amazing. They have a huge portfolio of different Bitcoin-only startups like we are, for example, Blue Wallet and Casa and others. They're invested in basically everything that's good in the Bitcoin startup scene. Anyway, but they asked me, or Oleg, that he asked me, you know, I'm involved in this Plan B forum. Would you like to be part of this? And I was like, sure. I don't really know what it is, but please connect me. Then he connected to you, and you pitched me this and everything that you now said. And I was really excited from the beginning. So I'm really looking forward to get there, meet all the great speakers, listen to all the great speakers, meet all the great audience. I also think the tickets are kind of affordable, which I also like. How did you do it? Maybe for as a last question, how did you finance this whole thing? That's just from a kind of startup fundraising perspective, for me also quite interesting, hopefully also for the audience. How did you finance it? Like, obviously you probably need sponsors on top of the ticket payments, because the ticket payments is not enough at all. Mm-hmm. How did you find sponsors for that, and what are you looking for, maybe in terms of sponsors? Maybe someone who's listening has someone in his network that might be willing to support such a great cause like this.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, so it is those two channels. So ticket sales is going to be one of the streams to finance it, and sponsorships is the other one. So we actually have a whole building, the Villa Chani, which is attached to the Congress Hall, dedicated to the sponsors. So you can have a booth, you can exhibit there your work and everything, and your products. So yeah, it's going to be sponsors plus six to finance the finance thing. And we are very, very interested in having Bitcoin companies sponsoring us, of course, because it is, I mean, as you can imagine, we're in a kind of a bear market in the world, and not only in Bitcoin. Everybody is kind of tight on cash. This is just a reality to what it is. I mean, we're going to put this through in any case, but support, having support from Bitcoin companies for a Bitcoin only conference is something that we are seeing, and we hope to see more as well, so we can make this also in the next years. And regarding the tickets, exactly. So yeah, the price is, I think, affordable, especially the all access pass, the general pass. And as I said, so you usually differentiate between different passes giving different access. We also do that, and I can talk about that a little bit. But what was very important for us is that the general access pass already has access to the most important thing. So this is, again, specifically those master classes. So you don't need to have some all access pass or Cyberpunk pass, which is kind of our VIP pass to be in those intimate settings with these top speakers. I consider myself a Bitcoin pleb, if you wish. I mean, I am totally supportive of all of these things, and I want people who maybe don't have to, who are not whales, who are not OGs, to come there and be able to interact with the whales and the OGs. It's very, very dear to us, very important to us. Having said that, yeah, I mean, we have something else that is very cool is that we're going to have a Bitcoin lottery. So among all of the ticket holders, we're going to distribute a total of one Bitcoin.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be three winners. Yes. So that's another thing that is very cool. We will collaborate with the Casino of Lugano there, which is just next to us. And then we're going to have that kind of a rattle, I think it's called, the name before. You're going to pick three winners and give them Bitcoin in the total. And that's it. So another thing that's maybe interesting, if you have whales among your listeners, we have the Cyberpunk Pass. And the Cyberpunk Pass, among different things that it gives you access also to a very exclusive speakeasy dinner with only 200 people. So this is basically the Cyberpunk Pass holders and the speakers, and it's going to be in the evening, on the first evening. And basically, so if there's a whale who wants to be in a room with all of these people together, that's your chance.
That's super cool. I bet there are some whales who either are interested in this Cyberpunk, or even maybe you're looking for private anonymous sponsors. I mean, I hear this a lot, that big whales, they obviously don't like to be, you know, very public about this, but they would probably be willing to anonymously support such a conference with one or two coins. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, we would love that. was the best.
Also, that's so cool. You can really tell that you guys have put a lot of effort and brain and sweat and blood into this. So I really, really hope this is going to be a success. And I'm sure it's going to be a success. I'm convinced. I mean, I'm going to be there both days, Friday, Saturday, giving these master classes, trying to get in touch with as many cool Bitcoin people as possible, trying to get this art, trying to win this fucking lottery and win these coins. This is my full support, and I hope a lot of relayers will also find their way to Lugano. And this brings me to my last and standard question. If you have listened to another podcast episode, you know what's coming now. We want to know from every person here, every guest, how much of your total wealth in percentage do you hold in Bitcoin?
Someone told me this very bad OPSEC. it is an amount that I'm... Wait. So I would say like that. I have in cash what I need for the next 2 months.
Okay, that's an interesting strategy. It's always 2 months. Just you're trying to rebound.
Sometimes it's 1 month.
Okay, 1 or 2 months. Yeah, just really know what's happening, right?
And no, yeah. I mean, there's always this argument about not putting too much money in Bitcoin. I think it's a flawed argument. First of all, Bitcoin is very liquid. So if you have Bitcoin, like, it's not a problem of liquidity. If you need liquidity, you're gonna have it. Either somebody access Bitcoin, or if you need to convert to fiat, it's going to be there in a day or two max.
It's probably the most liquid asset that there is in the world.
It's the most liquid asset.
24/7, 365 days, you can trade it so many places.
Exactly. And that's very important. It's not like stocks or a house and stuff like that you cannot access. So having a lot of your assets in Bitcoin from this perspective is not really a risk. The other comment is, volatility or price crash and stuff. I mean, first of all, when you're in it for a while, you don't really care about those things anymore. And second of all, the point is, with cash you are guaranteed to lose. Mm-hmm. Like, there's only one direction. That value is not going to go up. Mm-hmm. Like, and we all knew this, and now you see it. Inflation over inflation, euro losing on top of it against dollar, on top of it, 10% inflation. Now, this is not going to come back up. I mean, if somebody believes that the value of cash is going to go back up, you're probably delusional. At least with assets such as Bitcoin, even if it goes down, there is a very big potential of it going up. So as long as you are not super cash strapped, that you maybe if it goes down on 50%, you need to, or if you don't leverage, like I don't leverage, at zero leverage I have, there's no risk, there's no price at which I will be hurt. It's all just my assets will go down in value, but I'm not gonna lose anything. So I think that's important. No leverage, and then you can put as much as you want because it's very liquid. So
yeah, to be really honest, I mean, today there is no perfect store of value, like short, mid, and long-term store of value asset. You basically have the alternatives. You have it in cash, as you said before, and then per year you lose something between 10 and 20% of real like value, because obviously the inflation is probably a couple of percent depending on where you are, slightly below 10 maybe, but the real depreciation if you compare it to the prices that are rising rapidly and stuff, then obviously you lose like 10, 20, maybe more percent a year. So you lose slowly, it's quite stable, but like you're losing on the long run, you're losing your value. Or you go to stock market, asset market, you know, you're buying commodities, real estate, stocks, bonds, whatever, and you're trying to kind of trade your way to stability, but this is very risky, especially like for the normal people. They're not traders, they're not speculators. They will most likely also lose money in the long run. Maybe if you get it right, you can make some money, or you can keep your value in the long run, but it's very risky. And then third is you put it in Bitcoin and you're pretty sure that in the long run it's going to go up, but then you have the short-term volatility, as you said, that you need to stomach. So there's nothing perfect, but for the long run, probably the best shot that we have now on keeping our purchasing power is really a decentralized asset that is scarce and independent of governments and banks that can just print it away.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, on that topic, the point is why I like Bitcoin is like you basically want to have a monetary system. You want to have a money, right? You want to have a money where you put your money in and you know it's not going to be debased. I mean, this is a long discussion, but
as simple as that.
Like, It's simple as that, right? Like you want to have just an asset, you want to have a savings account. So Bitcoin is my savings account. Mm-hmm. If I have extra cash, it goes into Bitcoin. And you don't want to come home in the evening and have to study financial markets
right.
and geopolitics and understand what is happening enough to speculate here and speculate there. And you are forced to do that with right. inflationary money. That's why we see everybody. Always the ones with the lowest income are the ones who lose most because they don't even have the possibility to do that. But everybody's trying to put their money somewhere mm-hmm. So it doesn't lose value. Every mm-hmm. sophisticated investor is doing that. And this, of course, drives a bubble everywhere. So mm-hmm. that's why we see stock market in the bubble. We see real estate in the bubble. I mean, we see in the stock markets, the PE ratios are just going up. I mean, now we are seeing some deleveraging, but looking at the last 30 years, why should the price to earnings ratio just go up? And there's no justification unless it's just cash has to go somewhere, right? So, and this is one of the most important things of Bitcoin. I mean, normal people who work and have an honest job and want to save, they should be able to put their money in something that cannot be devalued by a bunch of people who are not elected, who don't ask you for your opinion and just make decisions because they think that's the right thing to do. And you're just basically being debased by the fruit of your labor. And I think this is the biggest, one of the biggest innovations and inventions of Bitcoin to a lot of people. Come on, this is, you work, put your money here, it's mm-hmm. not going to be debased.
Yeah, yeah. Spot on, mate, spot on. Yeah. That's that was an amazing, I think that was the top. We need to stop here.
perfect.
Thank you very much for concluding this episode like this. Thank you for being here, for taking the time. Thank you for putting so much effort and work into this conference. It is going to be amazing. Really looking forward to be part of the Plan B Forum in Lugano in October. See you there, mate. Have a great rest
Thank
of your
you.
Day. Cheers.
See you there. You have a nice day. Bye-bye.